Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. All lines are open and interactive for today's call. If you'd like to self-mute your line, you may press star six. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Candy. Should I do the roll call for you, Jonathan?
Yes, please, Beth.
Rick Fawcett?
I'm here. Thank you.
Tim Zhao?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
James Bledel?
Here.
Yoav Keren?
Here.
Volker Greimann?
Hello, everyone.
Thomas Ricketts?
Present.
Gabriel Schlett?
Present.
John Berard?
Yes.
Brian Winterfeld?
Present.
Petra Windfors?
Present.
Oswaldo Nuova? I do not see him yet on the call. Mikey O'Connor?
I'm here.
Maria Farrell?
I'm present.
Amar El-Sada?
Present.
David Cake? I do not see on the call yet either. We have apologies from Magali Bazello, and she has given her proxy to Amar El-Sada. Avery Doria?
I'm here.
Klaus Stoll?
I'm here.
Daniel Reed?
Present.
Jennifer Wolf?
Yes, present.
Ellen Greenberg?
Present.
And we have apologies from Patrick Miles, our CCNSO observer. And for staff, we have David Oller, Marika Koenigs, Julie Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, Mary Wong, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, Corey Schultz, our engineer, and myself, Glenn DeSangerie. If I've left off anyone, please let me know. Otherwise, may I just remind you, please, to say your name before speaking, and then it's over to you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you again, Janice. Jonathan Robinson. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the first council meeting of 2014. Especially warm welcome to Brett Fawcett, who joins us for the first time from the Registry Stakeholder Group, and who I'm sure you'll get to know and enjoy working with over the forthcoming period. So let's move on with the agenda then right away. The second item, 1.2, is to call for an update, any statement of interest updates. You'll see we already have recorded Brett's statement of interest. So really, I think we're looking for any updates from anyone else. Is there anyone else who would like to bring forward any update on their statement of interest?
Jonathan, it's Maria here.
Maria, go ahead.
I need to update the website, but I'm currently doing a contract, research contract for Oxford University on country code TLDs and cybersecurity. So I don't think it's going to directly affect the GNSO work, but it's a new, albeit temporary, employer.
Thanks, Maria. We'll look forward to that being formally updated, but thanks for letting us know here as well. So our next item is to call for any review or updates to the agenda, which you've seen posted. There were a couple of later revisions, although I think for the most part not particularly material, primarily a couple of additions to the consent agenda. But if I could call for any updates or amendments to the agenda. Thank you. And then under 1.4, we note the status of the minutes from the previous meetings. Any comments or questions regarding those minutes? Okay. That closes item one. Item two is an opportunity to review the current activity of the council, typically summarized by the action and the project list. I don't propose to go through the whole project list. And I think it's worth scanning over the action items that are running, as we've done in the past couple of meetings. To the extent that they are covered later in the meeting, we won't pick them up here. So just because I don't touch on them doesn't mean we won't deal with them. I guess it's probably sensible just to mention that we will come to them. So there's planning for the Singapore meeting, which we come to in the main agenda. There's further input on the prospective GNSO review, which we'll come to in the main agenda, similarly with improvements to the PDP process. Moving through then, the next three items are all complete now, the work on the SCI charter, the policy implementation, and our input to ATRT2, so it's satisfying to be able to remove those items. There is our interaction with the multi-stakeholder innovation panel. I think I said in the December meeting that I had had a meeting together with David Olive and Marika Koenigs from ICANN policy staff together with Teresa Swinehart. So we did follow up and make sure she was aware of really the perspective of the council and those within the GNSO that were conscious of the work of the multi-stakeholder innovation panel and its apparent or potential overlap or reference to key work that goes on within the GNSO, and we have indirectly followed up with Teresa in the new year. So to date, we haven't, as a council, submitted anything to the panel, but we've made indirect representation via Teresa, who's the senior, on ICANN's executive staff team responsible for that work. We have also, as you know, two liaisons to councillors responsible for tracking and monitoring the work of that panel to the extent that there are activities that they are able to. So let me create an opening here for either Jennifer Wolfe, who we'll hear later from on the GNSO review subject as well, and James Bedell to potentially provide some input, if any, on developments or anything to do with their work on the multi-stakeholder innovation panel. James or Jen, would either of you like to comment? James, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Hi, James speaking to the transcript. And earlier this week, I did go back and review the page that they have established. The report is current as of November 30th. There have been some other videos and things linked since then. The timeline or the work plan, and apologize, I'm working from memory here, but I believe the timeline, the next milestone calls for the panel that you were mentioning to occur, I believe in late January, early February, with I believe the next step was going to include a webinar as well. It doesn't look, I think in the summary, it doesn't look like a whole lot of tangible work, at least publicly visible work, has transpired since our last meeting in December. But Jennifer may have some other insights on this. I was just catching up here earlier this week.
Thanks, James. Jennifer, go ahead.
Yes, just to follow on James, there hasn't been a whole lot of development since our last meeting. The timetable that they continue to have on the website is that between January 22nd, which was yesterday, through February 22nd, they'll be evaluating the ideas that were submitted between November and the end of December. So presumably they are developing some kind of proposal and will be putting it out for comment. So I've not seen anything posted as of yet, but once they do, I will certainly make sure that gets forwarded out to the list. If you do have a chance to go on the website, and I'm sure we can send out the link, it doesn't look to me like in terms of volume, they've had maybe what they expected in terms of ideas. So I'm going to be curious to see how they weight the ideas and the comments when they don't really have a lot of feedback and a lot of commentary on it. So I think that's something we can just continue to keep an eye on.
Thanks, Jen, and James. I mean, I'll add my own point as well. I went on it and also had a look in the past week or so in the run-up to the closing of this submission period. And essentially, it's a broad-based submission tool where ideas can be generated and then sort of voted on or supported, and then on the basis of their weighting turned into some kind of further work. But I mean, I took the same point as Jen in that there doesn't seem to have generated a lot of activity. So in some senses, I'm not surprised because there's so much other activity going on. I think the thing that we need to be wary of or aware of and conscious and alert to is that thinness of response would produce some, you know, some outcomes that don't represent a significant input or direction. So it's something I think we've done exactly the right thing to keep a close eye on it and be prepared to interact as necessary as and when anything of concern comes up. So I'm not sure there's a whole lot more we can do. By putting it on the council's agenda, we make others more broadly aware of it, and we are tracking it and on the ready to interact with it.
And Marty, the insurance.
Just if I could remind people, if you aren't actually actively talking, to mute their microphones, please. There's some background noise. The next item is our work with the GAC on the GAC's early engagement in GNSO policy work. We'll come back to that as a main agenda item. The next item, which was an opportunity to transmit the results to the IETF and the EWG of the Who Is Survey Working Group, and unfortunately that's hung around for some time and I managed to miss it, so it's something I plan to pick up very shortly. And then there's the final item on the cross-community working groups, and I seem to remember that there is nothing particularly open on this unless someone this is forming the drafting team. Well, I guess we are. Can anyone, John Berard, or anyone remind me what, if anything, is outstanding? We've sent our letters. This is progressing. I see John and Mary, you've both got your hands up. So let's hear from you, John, and then Mary.
I don't mean this in any pun-like way, but at this point there is nothing outstanding. You saw my note coming from the CCNSO Council meeting this morning. Becky Burr has been appointed as my co-chair on that drafting team, and my assumption is that Mary, you will now move forward to try and pull a call together certainly at least the four of us, Jonathan, Mary, you, and Becky, for what, the 31st of this month? I think that's where we are, just to try and quickly organize a group of people to begin to move on this drafting team. Mary?
Thanks, John, and thanks, Jonathan. That's exactly right, that the next beat is schedule a first meeting of this drafting team, and if we can get one together for the 31st, 8 days from now, that would be great. I'll work with our CCNSO counterparts and with Becky, hopefully, and yourself. If not, then it'll be the week after. If I could just ask counselors to have their respective groups check as to whether the listed representatives on the wiki as of now are going to continue on this new drafting team, because many of those were on the old drafting team, and so to the extent that there's going to be new volunteers or replacements, it would be helpful if the GNSO Secretariat were informed so that we can update the mailing list and let everybody know about the date of the first meeting.
So, Mary, perhaps we could get a note circulated to the council letting us know who's on that list. Is that on that group, so that people can either reaffirm their commitment to it or ask to be removed?
Absolutely, Jonathan. I think I sent that around a while ago, but it probably got buried in a pile of other things. So I will resend it, and if that's not up to date, I'll send an updated version. Thank you.
Okay, great. So, Mary, if I could ask you then to just update those as the kind of current actions relating to this work in that right-hand column on the sheet so we just track this activity, that would be great. Thanks. All right, I'll just create the opening. John, I assume that's an old hand.
Yes, sorry, Jonathan, I'll take it back.
No worries. So moving on then to just make sure that there is an opportunity here to comment on the project list. I'm not going to bring it up now necessarily, but if anyone has any question or comment on the project list, just to create that opportunity. And for those of you who aren't fully familiar, I mean, this is a very useful document summarizing all of the activity, but really the activity as far as the council's concerned, rather than the scope of the project under the council's management, is captured in the action list. Right, let's move on to item three then, which is our consent agenda. And here we have three items from which there's been some minor discussion on the list, which was quite helpful, I think, in clarifying particularly 3.1. Are there any issues with these three items on the consent agenda then? Has anyone got any concern with them being on the agenda? Let me just make sure it's clear. One is to approve the council recommendations report on the protection of IGO, INGO names and acronyms to be submitted to the ICANN board. The second, 3.2, is to confirm the chair and vice chairs of the Privacy and Proxy Services Working Group, PDP Working Group. And the third is to confirm the chairs of the Translation and Transliteration PDP Working Group. Ching, your hand is up.
Thank you, Jonathan. I just want to point out on 3.3, I'd like to get everybody to support the nomination for Chris and Rudy to serve as co-chairs. The work has been, already started three meetings, and the working group expect to report back to the council in the next meeting for updates. So just want to give everyone knows about this. Thanks.
Thanks, Ching, and I see you've got support in the meeting room from AMER as well for that suggestion. Good. So we will close off that item three, the consent agenda, and open up item four, which is the first and only motion on the table for this meeting. Item four is a motion proposed by Mikey O'Connor, and it deals with the metrics, the charter for the Metrics and Reporting Working Group. So, Mikey, if I could ask you to propose the motion via the resolve clauses, just presenting the resolve clauses to the council, that would be great.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. The resolve clauses on this motion are as follows. The GNSO Council approves the following charter for the GNSO Metrics and Reporting Non-PDP Working Group and appoints somebody as the council liaison. That could be me. I volunteered on the list to the GNSO Metrics and Reporting Non-PDP Working Group. And there's the link to the draft charter. The next resolved is the GNSO Council further directs that the work of the GNSO Metrics and Reporting Non-PDP Working Group be initiated as soon as possible after an adequate duration to conduct a call for volunteers has occurred. The next one is until formation of the working group, the GNSO Council liaison would act as the interim chair. And finally, the working group shall, to the extent that it is practical, follow the rules outlined in the GNSO working group guidelines. And then a link to those guidelines follows. Back to you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Mikey. To the best of my knowledge, you were the only volunteer as the liaison. And providing there are no objections to that, I think we should work on the assumption that you are the liaison. So essentially, our proposal, the resolve clause, is that we, as it's been changed in the room now, is that we appoint you as the GNSO Council liaison. Are there any comments or discussion relating to this motion at this stage? Avery.
Yes, thank you. This is Avery speaking. I have actually no problem with voting for this. I'm just not clear on part of the charter, and so wanted to ask a clarifying question, where you have in the assumptions in the charter, this is the right time for this, correct?
Yes, I've read it. Great. Okay. Thank you.
So it says if it says it's a non-PDP working group and is not creating new policy, and that sort of confuses me, but I accept that that was a decision that was made, so I'm not really arguing that. If recommendations inherently contain new policy, then a formal PDP process should be recommended in conjunction with that recommendation. Okay, I understand that. This should not preclude considering recommendations that include substantive policy changes for consideration. So maybe I'm just not understanding the language properly, but it seems that there's a tension between those two statements. And while I can see a path between them to say, oh, we're only considering it, we're not recommending it, it seems like it comes to a semantic fine point. So I'm just wondering if somebody can clarify for me what the drafting team was thinking of in juxtaposing those three particular sentences as assumptions. Thanks.
So, unless you propose to answer Avery's point, I suspect you may have an independent point, I will, with your permission, go on to Mikey and followed by Alan, who appears to be responding to Avery.
So, yes, please, Jonathan. This is Amer.
Thanks, Amer. So, Mikey, if we could hear from you, please.
This is Mikey again. Avery, you're right. This is not some of our most precise prose in this particular document. But basically what we were doing in the assumptions was saying in that first sentence, look, this is a non-PDP working group, so it's not going to create new policy. It's rather aimed at building best practices. So that's sort of the foundational point. Then we went on to say, as you do your work, working group, you may find things that should become policy. And what you can do in that case, working group, is make a recommendation that a PDP be launched. But that's as far as you can go, because you're not a PDP working group. You're just a best practices working group. So I think that probably would have been fine. The last sentence then says, this shouldn't preclude you from thinking about doing things like that. We want to encourage you to think along those lines so that if you, the working group, find something that feels like policy, by all means, put a recommendation in your report that a PDP should be considered for that. But that's as far as you, the working group, can go, because you're not a PDP working group. I don't know if that wordier version helps or not, Avery, but that's my go at it.
Yeah, as I said, that was the semantic hole that I saw. And I think you having said that on this call and it being in the transcript, it's probably fine for people to go back to this if they need clarification. So thank you.
Thanks, Avery, for raising that point. It's appreciated. I see James's hand is down now, so let's, Emma, you are next with a new point. Please go ahead, Emma.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amar. I have two questions on this charter. The first one being the second bullet under mission, how processes can be continuously improved, simplified, and made more consistent for people wishing to either report a problem or learn about their options when their problem falls outside ICANN policy. To be honest, I don't think I understand this bullet point very well, and to me it seems a little bit out of place considering the rest of the charter, which is really giving the working group a mission of using fact-based reports as a means of creating policy. If I could get an explanation on this and how it fits in, I would appreciate it. My second point or question on this charter is whether do you all think it might be worthwhile to include
that the working group should also be charted by developing some sort of mechanism for critical appraisal of any studies or reports provided to assist in creating policy or not, because this is something that I believe is generally useful when dealing with what we call evidence-based policymaking, because it's always a good idea to just look at how this evidence has been collected and analyzed before actually using it. So well, those are my two questions. Thanks.
Is anyone able to, Mikey, I see your hand is up, be able to respond to Amma's points, please?
Sure, and Jonathan, just from a process standpoint, I was the chair of the drafting team, so if you want to just throw those questions to me, I won't keep sticking my hand up.
Yeah.
Amr, the first one, that second bullet, is essentially a nod to the history of this particular charter. One of the things, this goes all the way back to the RAPWG, and one of the things that came out of that working, also a non-PDP working group, by the way, was a recommendation that we sharpen up how the processes by which people report problems or learn about their options when those problems fall outside of ICANN policy. And that's a kind of a key phrase. That came out of the RAPWG, and so it's an acknowledgement of carrying that little bit of a mission forward along with a whole bunch of other stuff that goes with fact-based. What's happened is that the reporting of problems and showing people about options when those problems fall within ICANN policy have improved a lot with the work in compliance over the years. And what this one is doing is just saying, let's have this working group take a look at the things that fall outside and see if there are some best practices that can be suggested there. So hopefully that does that one. The other one that you suggested, this notion of critical appraisal of reports, I think is certainly within the spirit of this charter, and I would think that the working group would certainly welcome during that first round of public comments a suggestion along those lines, fleshed out just a little bit. I'm sort of scanning to see if I can find a home for that idea in this charter. And I can't multitask quite well enough to do that, but certainly I don't think that the working group would be should be adverse to taking a look at something like that, because I agree that certainly a part of the process of improving the information that goes into policymaking.
Thanks for that input, Mikey. Before we go to Alan, I just sort of thinking about a process point here. I mean, really, and this relates to your question, Amma, and any that might follow. I mean, given that we propose to vote to support or not this charter, the issue that's in front of us is really whether or not we either support it, don't support it, or request for it to be deferred or referred back to the working group to be refined. So, I mean, clearly, ideally, we don't refer it back because it slows down the work of the group, but that's the thing for you to be thinking about, I guess, Amma, in the light of these questions and in the light of the answers and opportunities to resolve. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. It's not a statement on the content, but on the title of the working group. The proposed title is both obscure and I think, misleading, in that this group is not looking at metrics for the GNSO or reporting for the GNSO, and it doesn't mention contracted parties or association with registrations. Therefore, it doesn't convey to people what the group is going to be doing, who are the people who are potential members of the group, and in terms of any future reports back, it again doesn't catch people's eye or tell them what it is the report might be about. So I would strongly support recommend changing the name to something which is more meaningful, both in terms of what it will be doing and to people who will be seeing the name in the future couple of years. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. James, your hand is up.
Hi, thanks, James speaking. And I'm just actually curious as if Alan has any suggested alternative titles or better adjectives that could better describe the work of this group.
Domain registration metrics and reporting group, contracted party. The charter implies it's not necessarily just contracted party, but it's associated with the use of registrations or something like that. So I think it should be something like that. I haven't thought it through, and I'm sure I could come up with a proposal as kind of other people.
Okay, I'm a little caught on process here. Really, we've got a couple of issues. One is a suggestion on some comments that Mikey's addressed from Amma, and then this input from Alan on a prospective name change. Mikey, I see your hand is up, and you'd like to respond.
Go ahead and finish your process point, Jonathan. I was going to respond with an idea on that, but I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No problem. I made the point. I'm not quite sure how we could refer it back to. In terms of the content of the charter, I'm satisfied. If there were substantial concerns of the content of the charter, we can refer it back to the charter drafting team. In terms of the title of the working group, that I'm not quite sure how we fix that. That's where I was grappling. So I don't have the answer yet.
This is Mikey. As your newly named possible liaison, I would be happy to take an action item to take instruction from the council to the working group as it's formed to consider renaming it. Maybe the thing to do would be to go ahead and launch it under this name. I'm quite sensitive as well to the timing. And so I am hunting for something where we could go ahead and approve it as it stands and then tidy that up later, and that might be a way to do it.
Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I don't like the idea of launching it and calling for members under the current name, because I think that defeats one of the purposes of attracting people to the group. I have no problem with council approving this, and a small subgroup of Mikey, James, and me, if necessary, because I raised the issue, to come up with a new name in the next day or two, and then the announcement be made. I don't think council really should care about the name as long as it meets the criteria of being sufficiently descriptive. Marika also, I'm sure, has a couple of ideas.
I think that's
so. I wouldn't delay launching it for the name. I wouldn't delay approving it for the name, but I would delay launching it for the name.
So can I just make sure that there are no substantial objections to the content of the charter, having had the discussion that we've had? In other words, I'm assuming that we're going to be voting on the charter as it stands, and then to move ahead, as you suggest, Alan, there'll be no further alterations to the content of the charter, simply the name of the working group to better clarify its scope and remit. Volker, I see your hand is up.
Yes, I would just agree with Alan that we shouldn't delay voting on this, but the name should be changed, because one of the issues that we have been trying to fix is to attract volunteers, and I think we have a better chance of attracting volunteers by making the name more descriptive of what's being discussed. This title is very, very generic and might fail to attract as many volunteers as a more descriptive title might.
Okay, thanks for those constructive suggestions. I think we have a way forward. I think that's probably sufficient discussion then, providing, I'll just pause for a moment to make sure we have captured everything, but the understanding is then that we are voting on the charter as is, and we have put on the record some clarifying comments and responses, but we will revise the name to better describe the work of the group prior to calling for volunteers. Great. So let's proceed to vote then. My sense is that this may be sufficiently uncontroversial that we can just proceed with a voice vote. So let me ask all those who are not in favor to please let us that be known now. Anyone not in favor of adopting the charter? Would anyone like to abstain? So I'm recording no no's, no abstentions. Could all those in favor say aye?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Glenn, if you could record that all those present are in favor of the motion.
I'll do that. Thank you, Jonathan. And just for the record, everyone is present, and the only absent one is Magali Pazula, who gave her proxy to Emma.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, councillors. Right. We are on track then as far as our time is concerned. And the next item is item 5, an opportunity to discuss the work that's been ongoing for some time. And I hope if we get this right, that it will leave our agenda as a main council item for a period of time. And this is the work that's gone on the prospective improvements to the policy development process. We've had some quite good discussion and revisions of this document in table form describing the improvements. All of these improvements fit within the existing PDP. They are simply mechanisms by which we can seek to make more efficient or make better, if you like, in some way improve the way in which we undertake our work. So there have been some most substantial changes to item 1, and really this is an opportunity to accept the document as it stands now, I think, and also to probably agree to form a group to pick up on, in particular, on items 3 and 5. So here is generally an opportunity to comment on the document, although, my understanding is we're pretty resolved on it. There are really two items there's a number of open topics within it that will have some ongoing work, and I expect the logical thing to do is to have reports back to the council on that work to the extent that staff is doing it, perhaps at our next few face-to-face meetings. So not have this on the agenda at every council meeting, but periodically review progress on this. And in addition to that, so periodic review, and in addition to that, have a group of volunteers who make attempt to make some further progress on item 3, that is increasing the pool of working group volunteers, and perhaps item 5, the improved online tools and training. So I guess I'm looking for support for that way forward, one, and or any indications of opposition to that, and two, probably... we can call for volunteers online. So it's really just affirming that's and or commenting on that way forward. Amr, I see your hand is up.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amr. I just wanted to say that I attended the webinar that Mikey held for new PDP working group members, and it was really fantastic. And I hope it does go beyond the pilot phase. Thanks.
Thanks, Amma, for that, and thanks, Mikey, for all the work that you do in this. I think it has many, many positive benefits, and that sometimes the only danger is that you can leave those of us who are slightly less committed in terms of time or availability. But behind, but you really appreciate the, all the effort you put into that sort of thing. So I'll second that. All right, so I'm not hearing any substantial discussion on this. And just then to flag, finally, then on point one, the revisions that were made dealt with both the opportunity to include a draft charter, but also to make sure that that wasn't, there were some quite careful revisions on how we handled that draft charter at the issue report stage. So there was always an opportunity for proper and comprehensive development of the charter and indeed the formation of a drafting team to deal with it as necessary. So, good. I'm pleased that we've got that. I think it's quite an important piece of work, both practically and symbolically, to be shown that, A, it should make some improvements, and, B, shows the council's willingness to respond to an area which is, I think there's some sensitivity about our productivity, throughput, and performance. Yeah. And so that's great. John and Alan, I see both of your hands are up, so let's hear from you, John, first.
So, yes, the Patrick, when he made his GNSO Council liaison report to the CCNSO Council meeting this morning, made specific mention of this effort, and my sense of the group was that they were quite interested in in what the elements were. Patrick agreed to keep them up to speed. I see this perhaps as a possible agenda item for our public session in Singapore as we look to engage the community in more substantive and meaningful discussions at the public meeting. Perhaps that's something we can consider.
Thanks, John. Just to make sure we're clear on that, when you say the public meeting, you mean the Wednesday public meeting as opposed to the sort of GNSO sessions on the weekend?
Yes, the Wednesday meeting.
Thanks, John. Alan.
Thank you. Just for clarity, I thought I heard you say the working group will focus on 3 and 5. The wording in the agenda says particularly with a focus on 3 and 5, which implies to me not necessarily excluding the others. I'm just asking for clarity. Which is the working group limited to 3 and 5, or does it have the ability, should it choose, to look at some of the other items as well?
Thanks, Alan. I think there's two things. One, this is I guess we can call it a working group. I'm always conscious that by calling something a working group, I think it's more of a sort of task force group to make sure that this work continues. I don't think it's necessarily, in my opinion anyway, exclusive to items 3 and 5. It's just that those are areas where there is obvious need for further development.
Good, Marita, thank you.
Your hand is up in response to Alan, and then Alan, if we haven't covered that, by all means, come back in.
Yeah, this is Rick. I think you already partly covered what I was going to say, because indeed, items 3 and 5 specifically ask for some kind of review of existing mechanisms and tools, and based on that, develop particular recommendations on how to possibly improve those. Most of the other items actually directly relate to staff further investigating on those items and coming back to the council or the group or both. And I think that's maybe at the point when we come back with the information where, we may take it to the council and the council then may say, well, we have this small group. Maybe they should have a look first and come back to us with a broader our feedback on it or next steps. But I think this may be at that stage when we get further information on some of these things. And as I said, we'll provide an update to you in the next ICANN meeting. That may be a point as well where the small group may already have some feedback on some of the 3 and 5. And maybe if they're already done with their work, they may say, look, we're happy to take on some of the next steps and some of the other items. So I think it's a flexible approach at this stage, or that's what I would suggest, of course, with the regular checking in and feedback points.
Thanks, Marika. So for Glenn and Marika, then, I think, Marika, you probably hold the pen mostly on the action items list, but for the staff who do hold the pen on the action items list, then I think what we need to capture here is, one, the formation of a group to take forward the key areas of this work that needs work in the interim, particularly items 3 and 5, and then second, to ensure that this comes up for review at future face-to-face meetings. It may be premature to have it in Singapore, but let's keep it in generic at the moment, future face-to-face meetings, and as we get towards Singapore, we can decide on how whether it's relevant to have this on the agenda at that stage or whether we leave it till London when we've had a little bit more time to make some progress. Thanks. Next item is item 6. It refers to the work that's going on with the consultation group between the GAC and the GNSO. To remind those of you who may not be very closely tracking this, this dates back as far as the previous ATRT. That's not the ATRT 2, the work that's just been concluded, which recommended that the GAC find mechanisms to better or more early in the process engage with GNSO policy development work. A number of other factors have conspired to make all of us recognize that this is desirable rather than policy development work going right the way through the sausage machine, coming out in a recommendation to the board. And then I'm speaking slightly loosely here, but just to illustrate the background, and then the GAC putting its hand up and saying we have an objection or a concern, or there's a significant public policy concern at the what is perceived by us to be the 11th hour, doesn't feel like an efficient process. So that's really the primary focus of this group, is to get a group of volunteers together to try and work through how the GAC might better be engaged early in the GNSO's policy work. Some of us have some trepidation as we go into that, because the concern is that it could potentially further slow down our work when much of our efforts have been in terms of improving throughput and speed, and or provide a perceived early veto in the process, and so on. So there are concerns and there's some sensitivity around the work. Nevertheless, the group's been formed. It's got a very positive atmosphere. It includes myself, the two vice chairs, at least three other council members, and an approximately equivalent number of GAC representatives. We have, at this point, agreed or almost agreed a charter, which will be then referred back to the respective groups for comment and input, and we have identified two clear work streams for this group and some timescales. The two work streams are points of interaction with the policy development process and regular GNSO GAC liaison. And those are the two really clear areas where we think there's an opportunity to provide tangible change and benefit. The timescales are reporting initially in Singapore, further in London, and ideally concluding the work of this group by the fall, at least the Northern Hemisphere fall, sort of October, November, ICANN annual meeting. So I think that's enough of a status update from me. Welcome questions or comments, and to the extent that there are questions or comments, opportunity for either my vice chairs or our council vice chairs, colleagues on the group, and or other councillors. That's Brian, Emma, and Mikey, who've all been pretty active and involved in this group. So any of those of you would like to comment or provide any input, or any councillors want to raise any questions, concerns, or issues relating to this item? Gabby, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, so I was asking, where can we check the list of the GAC representatives for the working group on GAC early engagement?
I'm sorry, could you repeat?
The question is, where can we find a list of the members that are participating now in this working group of GAC early engagement with the GNSO?
No, as far as I recall, it's been published on the GNSO Council mailing list. We can double-check that and resend it. there is one of the first things we discussed with the GAC. I mean, typically the GAC doesn't work in that we're using the same mechanisms of openness as the GNSO, and we talked to them about that those representatives on the group, and we're running an open mailing list, so you can track the work to the extent that you'd like to readily by viewing the archive of that mailing list. Amr?
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amr. Well, Gabby sort of touched upon a point that we did raise early on in the discussions with this group, which was web tools. And I remember because I did recommend that we use a wiki space to list the members of the work group or the consultation group, as well as post documents and any progress made, just for easy access. We sort of, I guess, decided not to do that, although it was great that we do have an open mailing list. But I hope that as we make progress in this group and documents start becoming more numerous, that we will start using a wiki space. I think it would be great just to keep others informed on the progress that we're making. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam. It's a good point, and I think you should obviously feel free to raise that with the group. Just for the record, I mean, the lack of willingness to adopt a wiki, I think, was not about any desire to be not transparent, as evidenced by the open mailing list, but more about, I think, a slight technophobia or lack of familiarity with the use and operation of a wiki in this context. I think that was the main reason, but there's no reason why I think, Emma, that shouldn't be raised or opened up within the group.
Yeah, Jonathan, this is Amr. And yeah, I did not mean to imply that there was a lack of willingness to be open. On the contrary, there has been a consistent willingness to be just that from the very beginning. And yes, you are correct. It was more of a technophobia issue, I guess. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Amr. I'm always conscious that these things, you know, if we don't explain it, because of others listening or, you know, how it might be perceived. So, no, I don't think you did imply it. I just want to make sure that we're thorough in covering that. All right. Any other questions or comments on the work of this group? Great. So item 7, then, is an opportunity to hear an update on the proposed forthcoming review of the GNSO. And this is in somewhat early phase of development in terms of the mechanics of how this might all happen, let alone the actual work that's going to be done. And if you recall, we have engaged with Ray Polzak, who is the chair of the Structural Improvements Committee of the board. And really, I think our objectives are threefold in doing that. Is to make sure we are as up to date as possible with their intentions, and to interact with them, to make sure that the GNSO is informed of what's coming down the track, and to prepare for any work that the council might do in reviewing those areas of work under its remit. Avri, I see your hand is up, so why don't you go ahead and make the point, and then immediately thereafter we can get our update from Jennifer Wolfe. Thanks, Avery. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I can also wait. I just wanted to put my hand up for when the queue started, so I'm fine with waiting, or I can make my point now, whichever.
Well, okay. Well, let's hear the update from Jennifer,
sorry.
and then we'll come to you first in the queue. Thanks, Avery.
So, should I start, Jonathan, or you need to finish up?
No, I'm done. Thanks, Jennifer. I think
okay.
I've set the scene, hopefully, and by all means, you go ahead. Sorry if I sprung that on.
No, that's fine. So just as an update from a procedural standpoint, Ray and the SIC will be developing a charter for a community advisory group to represent the community and providing some input through this process. Right now, staff is working with Ray and the SIC to develop that charter, and then it will be put out for comment from the council, from the GNSO at large, and from the community at large. So that's from a process standpoint. where this is headed. They have given me just an update in terms of where the thinking is about how the review is going to work. And so the concept right now is that this community advisory group would be formed of 5 to 10 people selected by the SIC to oversee the process from the community perspective and ensure that there is transparency and accountability throughout the process. They would be largely responsible for developing the scope of the questions and surveys that would be used in the audit. The SIC will be hiring or contracting out a formal third-party objective auditor. So they will have that responsibility to select that auditor who will then review both quantitative and qualitative information. The idea right now is that there would be a survey prepared, an online type of survey, that each AC and SO would complete formally. So that's where we would have the opportunity to have a formal position on many of the issues. But then anyone from the community will also be given the opportunity to complete that survey. The thinking is it would be a rather in-depth, one-hour lengthy survey, not something you would fill out in a 10-minute, you know, online kind of quick survey. So it would be something much more in-depth. From a timing standpoint, I know the staff is working with Ray to get him a draft of a charter, and the SIC will be meeting sometime in the next couple of weeks. And once they have approved that charter, it will then come back out for a comment and approval. So I would hope by our next meeting, not guaranteed, but hopefully by our next meeting and certainly by our meeting in Singapore, we have that to review and comment. So as soon as that is available, I will make sure it's circulated. But that will be our next step in terms of formally commenting, is to review that charter, provide feedback and comments before it is finalized, and then be moving towards the actual surveys and audit.
Okay. Thanks, Jennifer, for that update. Avery, let's go to you first then for comment or question.
Okay. Thank you. This is Avery speaking. Okay, I'm beginning to realize and listening to Jennifer's report that it probably is too late for my comment, but I want to get a clarification in any case. I had the opportunity to be in the council the last time one of these processes was started. In that case, the process was a little different, though there was no SIC at the time, but the council basically was the driver in terms of the terms of reference of the review. It then went to review with the board. There was a back and forth, et cetera, and then consultants and all the stuff. Now, in this case, we seem to have given up the initiation right of the term of reference on ourselves. So I'm wondering if there was a discussion on this top-down versus bottom-up process for this and what the reasons were from changing it to a council-driven terms of reference slash charter to a SIC-driven charter. And so I was just really curious about that because it struck me that it was so very different from the last time the process was carried on. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. I have some thoughts and comments on that, but let me defer to Jennifer, whose hand is up, I think, in response to that question as well, and then I'll come in if no one else has.
Sure. And Avery, I don't know that I have a direct answer to your question as why is the SEC driving it versus, or the SIC, excuse me, driving it versus the GNSO Council. I know that part of this is intended that the council is very involved, and we've talked about once we see the framework, once we know what the framework looks like, that we might in concert conduct our own self-review so that we would have some means of comparing what their results are with what our results are. So I think we are trying to be very active in ensuring that we are also driving some aspect of the process. And I think we will have the opportunity to provide comments on what does the scope of the survey look like, what is the scope of the research being done, both qualitative and quantitative. So I don't think the door has been shut by any means for us to have that driving force. But I don't know the answer. Maybe, Jonathan, you have more historical context in terms of why was it started differently this time than the last time.
Thanks, Jennifer. I and Avery for the question and the comment. I don't have full historical context, but I'll give you a couple of additional data points that may, at least it is my two cents worth. First of all, as I understand it, this is a sort of bylaw-driven, board-initiated review. The board initiates reviews, periodic reviews of the supporting organizations in some form of sequence. This, I think, is the first such review since the formation or since the SIC has been in place. So the SIC, to that extent, is simply a subcommittee of the board under whose remit this particular part of these activities take place. When we discussed this with the board as a council back in Beijing, from memory, Bruce Tonkin, who is now one of the GNSO representatives on the board and was a previous council chair, said, you know, you guys really should be thinking about a form of self-review. When such a review takes place, any body being reviewed should think about its own self-review. And, you know, the penny dropped, and that seemed to be a very sensible suggestion. So throughout this process, I think from that point on, there's been a recognition that that the council should be thinking about a form of self-review. And really, I think what the attempt here is to do is to track closely and, to the extent that it's appropriate, influence the thinking of the SCI under Ray's chairmanship, and to make sure that we understand that any form of self-review we do doesn't necessarily go off with completely different set of parameters or scope to that which they might do, because really a primary objective of a self-review would be to be well prepared for the review emanating from the board. So I think that's a sketchy insight into how we've got to where we are now. So my understanding is that we haven't seeded any sort of bottom-up opportunity, but we're more tracking the way that it's proposed or being planned to be done. And to the extent that it's proposed or planned to be done in a certain way, as Jennifer said, we'll have an opportunity to comment on that. And then there's a more tricky question, which is the GNSO Council isn't the GNSO as a whole. So to the extent there's any sort of review of the GNSO and the work of the GNSO over and above the work of the council, I see our job in this, our role in this, is to make sure that through the work of the council, through the work that Jen's been doing so far, is to make sure the GNSO is informed and that we sort of track that in that way. So I hope that's some clarity and further insight, Avery, and provide.
May I respond?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, yeah. You're certainly right that historically the SIC came into being after our last review. In fact, it came into being during the reconstruction of the GNSO. First of all, I want to put on record that while I acknowledge that the council is not the entire GNSO, that's kind of would be a logical fallacy, it is the council of the GNSO. There is no other council of the GNSO, and so I see the point responsibility for the GNSO being in the hands of the council. I know that there are people outside the council that disagree with that, and that may indeed be one of the issues that will be discussed in this review, but at this point, that division is one I find quite problematic, so I want to flag that. In terms of the other, obviously it's a done deal. It's going on. Yes, it is good that they let us comment on it. It is good that we can do our own self-review and that we can even go beyond perhaps the categories that they are reviewing, though, yes, that becomes somewhat irrelevant. It was always a board bylaws mandated review even before the SIC, but you know, that's be it as it may. It was bottom up driven. It is now top down driven. It's nice that they're letting us respond. So thanks.
Thanks, Avery. If the council indulges me, I'll just make one other brief comment. I was going to respond to one of the points you made. Oh, this is this distinction. I mean, we should talk about this offline, certainly, but I'm always sensitive as the council to be aware that there are stakeholder groups and constituencies for whom the council doesn't speak per se and who like to have their independent position. So that's really what I'm sensitive about. I'm not making too strong a distinction between the separating out the council and the GNSO, but it's probably something we should take offline and make sure I understand your perspective on this well, because I'd very much like to do so. Are there any other comments or questions on this work? It still seems early days, but that's thorough input from Avery and Jennifer. Anyone else like to comment or question or provide input on this? Okay. Ami, you put comment in the chat that you follow my last question. Are the stakeholder groups and constituencies not represented? Yes, they are represented on the council, and they have an opportunity to speak on behalf of those councillors of their stakeholder groups and constituencies. But there's a delicate balance between the stakeholder groups and constituencies having their own chairs and leadership, and some of them feel very strongly some or all of them feel very strongly that those stakeholder group and constituency leaders need to have a voice, in addition to that of their councillors and the work of the council. Okay, so that's the balance we tread there, and that's probably as much as we can cover here. Now, moving on then to item 8, which is the opportunity to discuss the international internet governance issues. I think this is a challenge, and you sensed from when this was proposed to be on the agenda that I had some reservations about it because it's a question of the relationship. I guess I had two thoughts about this coming onto the agenda. One is this is a theme, a meta theme, if you like, that seems to be sucking up an enormous amount of energy at all levels: board, executive staff, ICANN staff, and community at large. So my concern is that this is all we think about, one, rather than all of the other valuable work we could and should be doing, and two, is understanding the relationship between this and the role and remit of the council. So I don't have a clear view of the shape of this discussion, but I'd welcome any comment or input from those of you who raised it or supported being on the agenda, what you would like to cover within the council meeting, and what you think we can usefully discuss here. So I'm open to hearing that. And I see your hand is up, Klaus, so please go ahead.
Yeah, my hand is up. Very, very simple, straightforward comment. I would be really interested to know and to learn a little bit more from the other councillors, how they see the role of the council in this. I think this needs to be in one way or another clarified so that we can actually know where is our position and where is our role in this. Simpler than that.
All right, there are others who want to come in on this as well, so let me just defer to them. That is James next.
Hi, thanks, Jonathan. James speaking. And I guess my desire would be to have a recurring update from staff, perhaps, or from whoever the appropriate person or group would be that is managing or coordinating all these different efforts that we see, or at least that I see, and explaining in some respects how the different or work products coming out of these different groups and efforts are expected to fit together into a cohesive approach, either from ICANN or from the ICANN community or from ICANN, the organization, into some of these upcoming events. I think right now it just feels like, as you said, there are a lot of people engaged, there are a lot of resources being brought to bear, but it seems like it's all, at least to my perspective, it seems like it's a lot of noisemaking at this point, and I'm wondering where it's going and who, if anyone, is driving the boat.
Well, I'll respond to that, because I think there's one potential action that, that others might want to pick up on, and that is to invite senior, one or more senior staff that are involved with that, or make sure that the ICANN policy staff are themselves. But really, I'm aware of probably Teresa Swinehart or Sally Costerton or someone like that who could explain to us how things are moving, and just if that's the purpose of this agenda item, form of briefing and discussion, so that the council and the councillors remain tuned in and aware of it. That's one suggestion. So I'll defer now to the queue, but that's what I'm picking up as a potential action item from your point, James. Go ahead, John.
Jonathan, this is John. I think our persistent reliance upon the staff is not only unfair to them, but I also think it's a bit of a slippery slope for us. I would much prefer to hear from members of the stakeholder groups and constituencies represented on the council who are actively engaged in any or all of the five Internet governance initiatives that's going on right now. The reason that I suggested that this item be put on the agenda, there were two reasons. One, it seemed as if there was less international business participation than there needs to be, and I thought perhaps we might want to have a conversation about what role the council should play in helping promote international business participation. Maybe that is something that we could consult with Sally on, as she's in, you know, she's got the lead on engagement. But the other thing that concerned me is that Internet governance is sucking all of the air out of the environment. I mean, if you were on that CCNSO council call with me this morning, they keep their calls to an hour. I mean, if there were 15 minutes for things other than Internet governance, there was a lot. And my worry is that as we move forward on policy versus implementation, as we get caught deeper and deeper into the tar of Internet governance, that we that we're going to not do some things or do some things not as well as they should be done, and so maybe it's a caution, some might say too early a caution, that some of the things on our project and our action list are not getting the organizational time and attention that they might. The other concern I have, a third one that is more recent, is that with all these initiatives moving forward, if you saw my note out of the council meeting this morning, I mean, everybody is still in the organizing part of the program, and Brazil is that meeting is coming at us like a high speed train. So I have some anxieties about not getting time and attention for things other than Internet governance, that business on an international basis is not going to be represented well enough in these initiatives, and that we might as well start planning for the 10-year retrospective of the Brazil meeting if this is how long it takes to prepare for the Brazil meeting.
Thanks, John. Mikey.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. I will try to be really brief. I kind of like James's idea a lot. I would love to have somebody. I'm not sure I care about staff or committed volunteers. I sort of like John's idea of at least a mix that would just push out maybe once every week or 2 weeks a little email summary of where things are at. I think our council meetings are probably too infrequent for much useful contribution because things seem to be moving too fast for that. But it would be great to get sort of a status, schedule, themes, upcoming publications summary that was it could be radically unbalanced. It could have all kinds of chunks from all sorts of different people. But something other than the 50 to 100 emails a day that you have to wade through if you want to keep up on their lists, And I'm thinking that this could be a terrific service, not just to the council, but to everybody in the GNSO. You know, maybe we could just forward it to the council and to the constituencies. Because part of the problem with, I agree with John in terms of the oxygen problem, but part of it is just that the information is so granular and it needs so much processing to get a sense of that it would be nice to have a few editors that could just keep us up to date. Thanks.
Thanks, Mikey. Let me just make sure we get the full series of inputs, so we'll go straight to Alan, who's next in the queue.
Thank you. I guess I agree with both John and Mikey to a large extent. I like the expression of sucking the air out of all of our other activities. The danger, of course, is, you know, if ICANN isn't maintained as the policy organization for names and numbers, then how well we're doing our job and the other stuff is rather moot. On the other hand, if we are successful and stick around, we may find a year and a half, 2 years from now, that we haven't kept up with the work we're supposed to be doing. So it's a balance, and I think it's going to be a real difficult one. And the Mikey's suggestion of updates for those who don't have the ability or desire to keep up on all the mailing lists is probably a good idea.
Alan, over to you, James.
Thanks. Just briefly wanted to belatedly agree with the statements made by John. I think my concern at this point is that from what I have seen in terms of the self-organization of some of the efforts to participate and represent this slice of the Internet in some of these upcoming groups, it looks as though the multi-stakeholder model is having grave difficulties in defending itself, and most of the work I see or the conversations or the topics seem to be very divergent, and I would like, you know, as I think John and Mike you pointed out, just to agree with the idea that we need someone to boil that down and to help summarize or provide a synopsis to the council so that we can determine what our role should be in terms of managing whatever efforts are coming through out of the GNSO, and then how that fits into, you know, a much larger picture for ICANN itself. Because as I stated, I'm concerned that it's just kind of, right now it's just a lot of wheel spinning, and I don't really see it going in any one direction.
Thanks, James. And David, I see you've got your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan, and members of the council. If I just may comment, as I do head the policy team supporting the various SOs and ACs, in particular the GNSO and its work, to the point that there seems to be a lot of attention to Internet governance, yes, that is true. That is an important factor of the environment of which we live, the Internet ecosystem, and what may be transpiring as future steps. But let me assure you that in terms of the policy team, we are fully committed in support of the work and the agenda of the GNSO and all the other SOs and ACs we support. And I, of course, make an effort to make sure that members of my team are informed about the developments of Internet governance and the debates going on. But our focus is with your priorities and your agenda. And that is important because the working, the effectiveness, and the efficiency of the GNSO and our other structures, the workings of those show that the multi-stakeholder model can produce results, can come up with solutions, and does work. That's the most important part that we need to show, and we thank you for your efforts to do that. If indeed you would like a further briefing from someone like Teresa Swinehart, our strategy head, or Sally Costerton on the summary of things, I'm happy to convey that message and have that as a briefing for the council. In addition, the cross-community working group does have a wiki, but in particular they sent around some summary documents that show various timetables and events occurring, including the Brazil meeting, but up until other meetings after that, and I'd be happy to share that with you. It's been shared in the community working group, but I'll make that available to the council for your advice as well. Thank you, Jonathan, for this opportunity.
Thanks, David, and all those who contributed. My sense is that it's not necessarily a contradiction or a problem to have as much concise and effective input as we can get. So to the concern about whether we over-rely on staff, I think we shouldn't solely rely on staff, but, I mean, I think there's some senior staff members who are very plugged into this who could potentially, and my sense is we should perhaps take up David's offer to get the briefing from Theresa and or Sally at our next meeting, because I think even if there is more to the picture than that, it very much will give us a sense of what where senior staff are with all of this. In addition, I do see a slight contradiction between sort of having the concern that it's sucking out all the air out of the process and having it as a recurring agenda item, but perhaps someone can help me there. And I guess the third thing is, to the extent that there are digests floating around or readily available information, maybe we could have a volunteer from the council or I don't know how we get that information to the council, because that seems to be a general call I'm hearing, is where can we see a digest or track in a concise form where what's going on here and where it's all headed. Alan, I see your hand up. Your hand is up.
No, sorry, that's an old hand.
Mikey?
Jonathan, thank you. This is Mikey. I kind of want to re-amplify my call for a digest and preference for that over a recurring. I agree with Jonathan that a recurring 15-minute slot on this is not very appealing to me. I'd much prefer a co-edited, low-volume mailing list that I could subscribe to that would give summaries that would be useful both from a council perspective and from the perspective of a member of a constituency. But I agree, the oxygen is thin enough. Thanks.
I could ask if two questions. Is anyone aware of such a digest already? And two, is anyone on the council willing to sort of willing or able to help with this in any way? Or, yeah, Avri, I see you say you can help. That's appreciated. And maybe that's something, maybe that's the takeaway from this here, that there's a pretty clear request. There's a pretty clear sense I'm getting that many of us feel, A, that this is tremendously energy absorbing, and B, that we haven't really managed to track it and follow it and understand the implications of all of it. And so I think any form of so Avri, I think that sounds like we'd welcome that with open arms. Personally, notwithstanding what I appeared to say about not having this as a repeat item, I think a briefing for in the council meeting, we have one meeting from recollection between now and Singapore. My suggestion to the council is, if you want to know what's going on and from people who are very close to it and plugged in, would do no harm to have either Theresa or Sally on for a genuinely short briefing. We have to be careful it doesn't take up too much of the meeting, but I wouldn't mind knowing if there's... We've obviously got Avery's offer of help, which is great, and my second question is then, can we settle this? Do we or do we not want input from senior staff on our next council call? Because I think agendas are busy, and we'll maybe I could get some hands up or some support for that or clear points against that. And Avery, just to your point in the chat, I don't think anyone's... My sense is no one's asking you to represent the council. It seems to be going the other way. It's almost the flow of information, just understand where things are trending and what's happening. Okay, so I think we've got apparently some and possibly sufficient support that I'm seeing come up in the chat to hear from Teresa or Sally. So, David, I would like to suggest that we do take you up on that offer, that you talk with Teresa and Sally and ask that one of them, as the three of you deem most appropriate, could be in a position to give us a briefing at the next council meeting, an oral briefing on you know, the latest developments and where this is all headed and the implications. You know, try to link that in. And we can take this offline as well for them to understand the work of the council and what we do and how that may or may not link into it. But I think this is some general information required and understanding where this is all headed and if possible, to link it into the work we do. Thank you, David. All right. I'll just pause for one moment to see if we're done with this topic for the moment. I think we are. And so we then move on to our next item, which is item 9, which is the planning for the Singapore meeting. Now, traditionally this is led by a vice chair, and unfortunately our vice chair in charge of this forthcoming meeting is David, who happens to be on a horrible time zone for this meeting, and I suspect that's the reason he's not on the call. Now,
I'm on the call.
Oh, David, I'm sorry. I missed that. I sincere apologies. I thought I must have. It's great that you're here. All right.
But thank you for appreciating that. It's a horrible time zone.
What time is it? So we can have full sympathy.
Actually, it's 6:30 a.m. I'm in Sydney at the moment, so it's not too bad.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so that's not
yeah. That would normally be 3:30 a.m. in Perth.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So that's all right. David, welcome. The way we, I think, are going to handle this is that we will end up with a form of planning spreadsheet. We've had already had some feedback and discussion, which was on the list. I think Mikey was led that. Some things are relatively easy to incorporate, some may be more challenging. I think we're at a relatively early stage of the planning of all of this. Actually, it's interesting because linking into the international intergovernance issues, I mean, this is certainly one thing which I would expect, given the topic that's just been on under discussion now, is something we might want to be discussing with the board in Singapore and understanding, you know, how that links to our work and their work and so on. Let me open it up to David, if you have any comments or thoughts on this at this. I know it's relatively early, although we're going to get our skates on going forward. David, if there's anything you want to say and if there's any input from the council as to structure and content of our meetings, in our face-to-face meetings in Singapore, and indeed if anyone's got any questions about how we work or how we've come to the current structure.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. We are at a fairly early stage of planning. I've certainly been following discussion from Mikey and others great interest. At the moment, I think we're considering the changes to the way we interact with CCNSO last meeting to be very successful and are planning to continue that model. There's quite a lot of questions about how do we interact with the SAC. In general, I think people felt that was quite a successful part of the preparation. That, you know, the way we interacted with the SAC last meeting was quite successful, but we've also had quite a lot of very good suggestions and questions raised. So that might actually be a focus. We've also noted Mike's suggestion that we have a couple of specific things we want to accomplish in our prep meeting and so on that we focus on. We haven't had any suggestions for what those might be. So open, interested in hearing suggestions. And also, Mike's suggestion that we break up the long prep days of sort of simply sitting in chairs listening to reports was certainly a good one, but again we need some more specific ideas on what we would want to accomplish by breaking up our activity in that way. So very happy to hear from the council any suggestions about what they think would be valuable ways to look at particularly what we need to accomplish in the prep meeting. Particularly looking at suggestions about what would be useful, important outcomes from the 2 day, the day and a half of Saturday and Sunday.
A couple of context points, David and others, is that first of all, there's a point about there's two things, I suppose. One is that those weekend sessions are for the GNSO as a whole, and so I'm very keen to, and I intend to reach out to stakeholder groups and constituencies and try and get as much participation from chairs, vice chairs, and members of those groups. So one of the reasons for having things like the working group updates is and opportunities is that there's the potential of, it's not really just the council being updated, it's an opportunity to have face-to-face interaction about broad work within the GNSO that the council manages and have GNSO participation and interaction with it. So that's point one. Point two is on the interaction with particularly the board and the chief executive. I think we've been very successful in our recent interactions with them by planning in advance some behind-the-scenes discussion and making sure that I've forewarned Steve or Fadi that, you know, what we're likely to want to talk about. And certainly it feels to me like we're doing better than when we simply sort of gathered together for half an hour and said, right, what are we going to talk about, and sort of tossed ideas over the fence. So I think now would be a good time to hear, like I suggested, the internet governance issue and any other, really, that it seems to be most effective if we can pick up on two or three key topics that there can be substantive discussion on, forewarn them, prepare them, and either it's a request from them for an update. For example, we might say to Fadi, where do you think this is all going and how is it going to impact on the ICANN model, the internet governance side of things, or, you know, there's a number of things, or we might want to talk to him about, is this, what else is going on back at the ranch in terms of ICANN operations and developments. A real opportunity there that, I mean, I find those very interesting and valuable sessions, and I'm sure others do who attend with the board and the CEO. So I sort of break it down into those, and then of course we've got the meeting with the GAC, which I suppose will be driven by, to some extent, the agenda from the consultation group. Any other comments or input at this stage, David? David Olive, that is.
Thank you, Jonathan, and members of the council. I just want to point out that because of the Buenos Aires session of the SOAC high-level interest panel at the beginning of the ICANN conference, we hope to have a similar session in Singapore, and we'll be sending a note around to the SOAC and stakeholder leaders to gather their inputs and interest in this, as well as the topics that might be presented. So that's another thing I would like to just preview as we plan for Singapore.
Thanks, David. Mikey?
Hi, all. It's Mikey. I'm sort of responding to David Cake's request and just with a few ideas, and I'd be happy to push these out to the list as well. But it seems to me that when I was thinking about identifying a few things that we wanted to get done, one of the things I was thinking about was that planning session that we had after the Buenos Aires meeting, where we sort of wrote down a bunch of stuff on the wall and talked a little bit about things that we might want to try and move forward with. I think that might be a thing to go take a look at and identify a couple of topics from that we want to move the ball forward on. So that's one idea. I think the fact that it's all GNSO and not GNSO Council could be telegraphed effectively if we rearranged the room. And by that I'm saying, you know, instead of having a room that's sort of the usual tribunal where we have mostly counselors sitting around the table with microphones, if there would be some way to arrange the room so that it was just everybody who's in the room, so AC and SO leaders or constituency and stakeholder group leaders and others could feel more of an equal role, I think that sends a pretty powerful message. I think one of the things that I'm interested in from the standpoint of the GNSO is how the GNSO identifies policy issues that may warrant a PDP and has sort of a preliminary discussion about that before we go to issue report. So another item in the one, two, or three big things to put on the agenda would be something along the lines of emerging policy topics or proto-PDPs or something like that. I think the thing that I react strongly against is sort of routine pro forma, always on the agenda because they've always been on the agenda kinds of things. And so to the extent that we could thin those out and get more focused on sort of where we want to really apply some attention and energy, I think that would be fantastic. There you go.
Thanks, Mikey. Let's go straight to James, who's next in the queue.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just wanted to touch on the last bit that Mikey pointed out, Mikey touched on, which was the sort of routine items of business. And I want to pick on one in particular, which was the updates of existing ongoing PDP working groups and other groups. It feels like there's a lot of room for improvement and condensing of those reports. I note that as a chair or co-chair or vice chair or participant of several of these working groups, it seems like we always have a 15 to 30 minute slot on the Saturday agenda, and we prepare the same structured slide deck each time. Sometimes to as much as 50% of the council. At those sessions, and then field maybe one or two courtesy questions, and then move on. So it feels like, you know, those things could be compressed to just focusing on those issues that are urgent, or that demand council attention, or that specifically call for input or guidance or something like that. And I think that, to Mikey's point, I think that can really help. Move those sessions along and open up the ability to include other types of discussions like the things that we covered in our developmental session, our get-to-know-you seminar in Buenos Aires, and also help us maybe to better prepare for some of the meetings that we would have with other SOs and ACs and senior staff. So that's just one area I think that has a potential for improvement.
Thanks, James. Marika, I think your hand was up next.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. This is Marika. Responding to James, and I think we actually, over the last two meetings, actually made quite some significant improvements to those updates. And I don't know if you're maybe referring to how things were done, you know, a couple of meetings ago, indeed, where a lot of time was spent where working groups would just go over, like, well, this is the background, these are the issues we're looking at, this is how we came to be. Because we really changed that format drastically by basically taking out all the background information and moving that to the back of the slide, so just have it in there should people ask about it. And we prepare background briefing notes, like one-pagers,
that we circulate before the meeting to all, you know, the council, and then it gets sent out as well to all the stakeholder groups and constituencies and posted on the meeting website, really intended to enable people to get up to speed on the background of these issues. And then we've encouraged, and you know, in many cases we support the working groups that provide updating their slides. So we really encourage them in that way as well to really focus on the substance and really highlight, like, what are, you know, some of the major issues you're grappling with or dealing with, or are there any specific issues you want the council to provide input on, which I think has resulted indeed in shorter updates that are really focused more on the substance and have resulted as well, I think, in some better discussions. It doesn't, of course, mean that there may be other ways we can improve it, but I think we've already tried to tweak the working group updates in such a way that they're really focused on the substantive issues that make it more interesting for the audience to listen to, and as well provide the audience and council members as well with the relevant background material so they can actually prepare before they come and they don't need to sit through that part of the update in the session itself.
Right, let's hear from, thanks Marika, from Mikey and James, and then close the queue at that point. I think we've got some good suggestions so far, but let's hear from Mikey and James.
This is Mikey. I'm going to sort of hammer on the same nail that James just did. And one of the ways to think about this, and this is back to you, David, is if you think about the cost per hour of the meeting on the weekend, you know, it's the cost of shipping the council plus basically all of the leadership of the constituencies and stakeholder groups to a meeting 2 days in advance. I'm coming up with a number that it's got to be on the order of $20,000 to $50,000, just as a guess. And you divide that by 20, and you come up with sort of a $500 per hour minimum cost. Maybe it's, I may have lost the digit in there. Anyway, it's very expensive in terms of people's time, in terms of financial treasure, in terms of staff commitment, etc. Let's make sure that everything that goes on during those 2 days really matters. And in terms of some of these working group updates, sometimes it matters if we're at a tricky bit or we're stuck on something, but a lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times we're just sort of standing up and saying, yep, it's going, here's our goodies, and we'll be back at you with a report, or we've got a report that sometimes we have a report that the council needs to vote on, but a lot of times those reports come at different times. So I'm not sure that working group updates need to take the percentage of time that they do right now, and would just join James on that particular one. And as a chair, often I'm happy not to give those reports. See you later.
Thanks, Mikey. So before we go to James, I've heard you on this. I'm going to work with David on this, and you know, I think what we'll do is we'll put together a schedule that emulates what we've done before, then look to cut back out of it and see what we could potentially get rid of, and then within that space create the openings for the kind of suggestions that we've heard. So I feel I've heard quite a lot and some good suggestions, just to reassure you and others. But James, let's go on to you then.
Thanks, Jonathan. So very briefly, to respond to Marika and to Mikey, I do notice and appreciate that we have made, I think, important strides in cutting the fluff out of a lot of those working group updates. But I think to Mikey's point, I'm questioning whether we need to have them at all. You know, if the working group doesn't have all that much to report, and the council, as is often the case, doesn't really have any questions, either the councilors or from the GNSO audience, then I think I just kind of keep coming back to this idea of, do those need to happen in person, or can they just be, you know, submitted, you know, in writing instead, or what other alternatives can those updates be provided? So so more of what Mikey, I think, and Jonathan are talking about, and I'll let it go. Thanks.
Marika, I see your hand is up for a last word, and we can take that, and then really we'll close the Q&A. try and move on.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. To James's point, I'm maybe going a little bit further down a memory lane, because actually we did have at a time a request, I think, for working groups to send written updates to the council before council meetings. I think we did that for a while, but didn't seem very productive or helpful. We also had chairs providing updates during council calls. Again, I think the feedback there was that wasn't really getting the interaction as people wanted or liked. Hence, I think the focus on doing that in the face-to-face opportunity. And that's really the only moment because, you know, in the end, you know, the council is the manager of the policy development process. It's often the only opportunity where working groups have a chance to indeed talk about the issues and flag items and talk through where they're at and get feedback from the council as well, the broader GNSO community. So, you know, I would be very hesitant in just saying, oh, just get rid of them. Let's have them do written updates. And when they get to the initial report or final report, that's when we actually look at it. So I really would like to caution against that. And just note as well that we've tried various formats, and I think we're already at a way where we're, you know, trying to do it really focused, really to the point. But really, I think having that time for the council to actually see what's going on, and again, council and the broader GNSO community, as it is over the weekend, to focus on what are the policy items that are under discussion, as that, you know, as we, I think, discussed before, that is really the core of our work and our responsibility as a community. So just scrapping them, I think, may not be the way to go.
Okay, so that's been a pretty balanced discussion. I think we've heard some good suggestions and some caution as to not throwing the baby out with the bathwater as far as all that's concerned. So thanks very much. You've given David, myself, and the staff responsible for planning and organizing this some good food for thought, and rest assured we'll be iterating back to the council for more feedback over the next few weeks and I guess a couple of months really ahead of Singapore. We've at a stretch, we've got 2 months. All right, so that concludes item 9 then, and then our final item is item 10, which is any other business, and it's an opportunity for anyone to raise any other business self-evidently, but we do have a prior item on that, which is this point from Mikey regarding ESSAC reports and potentially a mechanism to review those. And I'm not sure whether this has been addressed by the suggestion of inviting the ESSAC to have a representative on the council, which I guess I wouldn't mind clarifying and getting council support for doing so, because of that would that would create the opportunity to then write to the ESSAC and invite that. But, Mikey, why don't I let you make the point you perhaps wanted to make, and then we can take it from there.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. I think that both of those can work in parallel. The thought that I had is that over the years, the ESSAC has produced a bunch of reports. Clearly, they're an advisory committee, so they're directing those reports to the board. But a lot of times, the suggestions that they've got are back in that proto-PDP category that I talked about a minute ago. And I was thinking that it would be an interesting thing to do to get a group of people that just paid a bit more attention to the ESSAC reports than most of us do and make a point of trying to identify things that the GNSO ought to take up. And we can certainly wait around for the board, although it appears to me that a lot of times the little teeny tiny things that are in the ESSAC reports that are really of interest to us don't make it through the filter of the board. And besides, then it adds, you know, at a minimum 6 months to the process, sometimes longer. So I was curious if we could form sort of either an informal or semi-formal group, maybe go so far as to go crazy and create a mailing list for them and just encourage members of the council and anybody else in the GNSO, for that matter, who's interested in this topic, to just read those ESSAC reports a bit more carefully, extract the parts that might become proto-PDPs, and bring those forward on occasion to the council for clearly vigorous debate. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that this should be a mandate that everything that comes out of this group should turn into a PDP, but I think there are an awful lot of opportunities missed because we don't sometimes pay attention to those reports. So I'd be just tickled to death with a mailing list and a few folks that would like to join me on it. There you go.
Thanks, Mikey. Alan?
Thank you. I'm going to strongly support that. There have been lots of comments on things like how is it that the board could have ignored statements made in ESSAC reports about name collisions and things like that several years ago, but I think the same statements could be made about the GNSO of issues are raised by the ESSAC and are not pursued as much as they potentially could be. So I think what Mikey's suggesting is a marvelous idea. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Mikey. So can I just make sure I'm clear? Because what you're suggesting is that there is a mailing list for councillors who want to discuss the implications of ESSAC reports, or why shouldn't it just be on the main council mailing list and those that want to pick up on it can? Or is it broader than the council? Question one. And question two is, I haven't had a response to whether or not I should formally write to the ESSAC and invite them to have to take advantage of liaison to the council.
Jonathan, this is Mikey. Let me respond to the first one. I think there's essentially sort of a birds of the feather group in the GNSO that's broader than the council that's interested in SSR stuff. And so the reason I'm lobbying for a separate mailing list is because the council list, of course, is restricted to councillors. And I think it would be good to have a list that's available more broadly than just the councillors so that we can pick up those other folks in the conversation. So that would be my lobbying on that, if that's helpful.
Okay, so I don't necessarily say, I'm not sure you need the sort of council's permission or support to do that. I'm just wondering how we achieve that. That's my, well, I'm not quite sure how practically that gets done.
This is Mikey again. I think it would be nice if somebody sponsored it, and the reason I was thinking of the council as sponsoring it is because the council very, very much could become the customer of that community.
Okay.
If they knew that their conversation was not just, you know, cool stuff in SSR this week, but rather it was a conversation where they were paying a special attention to the contents of the ESSAC reports and trying to comb out and identify emerging SSR issues that might turn into PDPs, then we as the council could sponsor that list but have it open to anybody with an SSR interest in the community.
Okay. Thanks, Mikey. Alan?
Yeah, a question and a comment. You're talking about a liaison from the ESSAC onto council or the other way around?
Specifically the former. Yeah.
I don't think the ESSAC has done that before. We the ALAC does have a liaison in the other direction. Now, it's an interesting sort of liaison. It's a person nominally not selected but identified by the ALAC, but then has to be vetted by the ESSAC to meet their normal rules of you know, vetting their own members. And that person is then subject to all the confidentiality issues which often surround ESSAC investigations. So that person cannot necessarily report back on a regular basis as to what's going on, but is a good conduit for identifying issues that have been raised within ESSAC discussions or reports and are then of relevance. So I think if you want to have a discussion with the ESSAC and with Patrick on that, you may want to be open to both directions and investigate what might work better.
Yeah, and we did have a very brief discussion on it, and specifically for those reasons you've just outlined was the reason for considering it in the opposite direction, because there's no similar qualifying criteria for an ESSAC liaison to the GNSO. But thanks, Alan. That's helpful. Okay, so looks like we have support for the mailing list idea. We can take that forward. So I think that covers that item sufficiently. Are there any other items of other business that anyone would like to raise at this point? Amr.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amr. I have a question, actually. Does the GNSO Council confirm vice chairs and chairs to the SCI the same way that it does to working groups?
Yes, I think so. Where's the question coming from, Amma? Has there been a change?
We did confirm, I believe, Avri as the GNSO Council liaison to the SCI, and now, yes, the SCI does have a new vice chair. That wasn't on the council agenda, I guess, but I'm not sure if that was because this was very recent or because it was just something council didn't necessarily do.
Comment in the chat here's a response from Avery that'll be helpful. Thanks, Avery. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was in the deafness while they were telling me my line was unmuted. Is it for me to speak?
Yes, please go
ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry. I guess I was. In fact, after I saw the example of the CCNSO liaison report, I felt terribly ashamed for not having written one on the SCI, and we'll try to do one in the future. As far as I understood, vice chairs did not need to get approved by the council. Only the chairs was a vetted position. But yes, Sintra Sukhanan from NPOC in the NCSG has been chosen as the SCI vice chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. Maria?
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you. Sorry, my hand is actually up for another topic, which was a quick update on the Who is Privacy and Proxy Accreditation Working Group. So maybe I should wait until this discussion finishes.
Okay, I think we are done. I mean, we will. Avery commits to update us on the work of the SCI. I'm not sure we need to. I think I understand that we don't need to ratify the chair or the vice chair. That's a job for the SCI. We simply need to be informed. And then I guess we've got a couple more minutes as we head up to the hour, so why don't you go ahead, Maria?
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. This was an item that Mary Wong very kindly added to the consent agenda, I think, and it was I had been appointed the GNSO Council liaison to the Working Group on the Privacy and Proxy Accreditation Services, PDP, and just before the end of the year, and at one of the working group meetings, they appointed a chair and two vice chairs. And so my job is just to let you all know that there is now an actual chair, not just an interim chair, and that is Don Blumenthal of PIR, and the two vice chairs are Steve Metallis of the IPC and Graham Bunton of the Registrar constituency. So they are now the leadership of the group. So I'll still be the GNSO Council liaison to the group, but I'm no longer the interim or acting chair. And that's the update.
Thanks, Maria. So that's good to know. Is there anything else before we bring the meeting to a close? All right, well, at just 2 or 3 minutes before the top of the hour, thank you very much, everyone. I think it's been some productive and interesting discussions. We'll try and capture as much of that on the action list to the extent that there's work to be done or to be taken forward. And there's been a lot of good input on various of the items, so much appreciated. Thanks, everyone. Have a good rest of your day or evening, depending on where you are, and we'll be in touch on the list and, of course, at the next meeting in February.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
You can stop the recording now.